makes a little bit more sense when we figure out that there was this person who was saying something has changed. The kingdom's come. Life is different. There's a new sheriff in town. Hey, you guys, if you come and live this way, it's gonna change your life. We get that on infomercials all the time, don't we? Right? This is going to change your life. This is going to be different. If you adopt this way of living, if you get your mindset in this way, it's going to make a difference. So if you're hearing the gospel for the first time, we don't know Jesus, it's okay to simply, as Mark says, Jesus just showed up. He had a story to tell, and he invited people to get on board with him. And if they would, their life would be different. Does that make their leaving the nets a little more sensible to some degree? We've probably done a few things in chasing after something that we thought was going to be different. In the very least, is it fair to say that if you had that picture of Jesus, you'd at least be sort of interested. What was it about this cat that when he talked to somebody that they didn't really know, that they paid him attention? They moved. Maybe I could get a little bit more of the story. Would that sort of pique your interest? Again, now you guys are the wrong audience for Mark to hear it that way, because you sort of know something, a lot of you do. Now here's one thing that we always skip over as a church, and I don't want to be guilty of it today. There may be those among us that have not heard the gospel story, and that's all right. Let's not forget that alone, Jesus showed up, the kingdom of God is here, and people changed their lives because they saw him, encountered him. That asks us to read a little bit more. That is a good thing. And you are invited to join us to learn more and understand what it is about Jesus that's different. But for many of us, we would profess that we are believers, that we are Christians. We just proclaimed a creed of faith. So I'm guessing those of you that read it, this is how you live. This is where you're coming from. These are the things that you've thought about and have said, this is a framework for me. So for the believers, listen to a little bit more of the Gospel of Mark, the way that it comes to us, right? And to the hearers of the Gospel, especially if they've read Mark one time and then start over. It's the key, right? How about this? This is how Mark tells it and how we should hear it. This is how the victory of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, began. We skip down. That's the first verse of Mark. We skip down and it says, after John was handed over, God's own Son, Jesus, showed up and told everybody, the war is over. This is God's kingdom now. So think like kingdom people and live like kingdom people. Well, when this victorious king, the Son of God, when he saw Simon and Andrew fishing, well, he honored them with an invitation. He said, come and follow me. I'll change your life. And of course, they dropped everything. And it couldn't take their eyes off of him. That makes sense, doesn't it? No, seriously, does that make sense? This is what you said you are. This is what you said you believed. This is how you're laying your life out because of these kind of encounters. That this isn't just a guy. This is Jesus. He's the Son of God. And what, well, we say the gospel, but what it means is there was this victory in war. Jesus has won. The gospel proclamation is the same one that they would come back and say when the Roman emperor had won a big battle. Victory is here. That's what gospel is. And so Mark's saying, hey, the big battle has been won. Victory is here. The King of Kings has brought the kingdom here. It's near you. And so when we read the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the victor, going to someone and asking them to come along, doesn't it make sense that they would come along with him? Sort of. I really need to see you. Anybody nodding out here? Seriously. This is important because this is about your life. This is about what you professed. This is about the kingdom of God. And the third hearing of that That this isn't just an interesting children's story. This isn't just some good ideas for how to live life. There is an opportunity in the world that is present, and you have been invited to become part of it. The victory is won. God's kingdom has come. It's not coming in the future. It is come. It is near in the person of Jesus. And as Jesus encountered people, the kingdom was there, and he invited them. But if you see Jesus not as the King of Kings, not as the victory of victories, not as the God creator's rule in place, then it seems like we have, well, that's kind of weird. Some followed him, and sometimes I follow, and sometimes I don't. It's important to hear the whole story. Let me just ask a few questions. As Christians, as professing Christians, as we look at your life individually, and I'm just going to pretend I'm looking at you, you look at me, asking these questions, will we see someone whose mind is open to Jesus' teachings and that their actions are indicating every day, every place, a radical love and loyalty and to this always changing and evolving kingdom? Let me ask it again. Will we see someone when we look at you as a Christian that your mind is open to Jesus' teachings, you're receptive, that your actions indicate a radical love and loyalty to this always changing, growing, pushing, moving in, encompassing kingdom? Is that what your life looks like when we look at you? Maybe this. Are the boats and the nets and the hired help still laying on the shore from your calling? Or have you gone back to fiddling with them? Have you found yourself back fiddling with the stuff that you left on shore? I don't know. Let me ask you this. To whom have you given the power to interrupt whatever you're doing and head off in a new direction? To whom have you given that power that they could call, come by, see, ask, and you would drop everything that you're doing, pick up and go, and never look back? Who has that authority in your life? Does anyone have the authority besides you of that in your life? Maybe a spouse, maybe a family member, maybe a boss, maybe a client. Have we given that authority to those kind of people? Maybe it's where else might we have given that authority to just simply change? Probably if we get arrested, we've given that authority to the state to move us where we may not want to go, to change things. To whom have we given that power? Whose authority rules our life? Well, chances are that what we do and what you've done is to try to explain away the uncertainty that is the kingdom of God. In other words, uncertainty meaning you can't put your mind around it. You can't outthink God. You can't outcreate and solidify and say, now, this is it. I'm here, I'm good, nothing will change. That's not how the kingdom works, right? But we often try to do this by explaining away in terms of our faith and convincing that our set of beliefs, what we believe, will keep us right where we are. In other words, let me put it this way. Rather than being the person who's open-minded, who can drop the things, who can go in whatever part of our life that works, we say that my picture of God is the way I like it. How about that? In other words, I say things and I say a creed and I tell what I believe about God so that it solidifies where I am. It doesn't make me change. It doesn't make me do anything different. It validates all of the choices I make, right? Because I'm Christian, and so I will say, this is how God is. That's a certainty. And what I'm offering is that perhaps the authority in our life is the certainty that we put up in our life, our idea of who God is, so that we can control that and stay comfortable. Anybody feel that that might be something that you were doing in your life? Well, let me ask you this then. By what authority do you miss worship? Whose authority says, do not worship Jesus today? We give it away all of the time, all of us. And I'm not just saying going to this church, but you know what I'm saying. It could be a Tuesday or a Thursday. Who gives us the authority not to worship the Lord of Lords? We give it to somebody, or we're worshiping. Is it fatigue? I'm too tired. Is it our children's preferences? Sometimes I've heard that, well, the children don't want to go to church, so we're not going to church. Can you imagine that a child's wisdom has overwhelmed us to such a degree that doing what is essential for the Lord becomes an option? I don't know. We do it. I've done it. All right? I'm not pointing fingers exactly. I'm just saying these are things, right? How about our pleasure sensors? Have we ever found ourselves chasing down sporting events? Or how about entertainment or distraction? Because rather than heeding a call in our lives or finding our lives shaped in a certain way, our certainty that has this tension, we chase after these other things to distract us. Have we given authority to them to say, no, do this thing rather than worship? Do this thing rather than have your life deepened. Do this thing rather than what pleases the Lord if those happen to be in conflict. It's authority. Where does it come from? Sometimes we've given it to misinformation. We've given it to false teaching. We've given it to fear, or we've given it to apathy. But we have given that authority to someone, to something, so often, all of us. Let me ask you this. What enemy in your life has the authority to make you want to stay angry, to withhold forgiveness to such a degree that you know to forgive and to not be angry would please the Lord? It would be exactly what Jesus asked you to do. But you have given authority to someone to stay angry and withhold forgiveness more powerful than the Lord of Lords. Oh my gosh, when did I do that? I bet we're doing it right now. I can't forgive that person. I just can't forgive them for what they did. Really? But you know, to forgive them would please Jesus. I can't do it. They are more important than Jesus Christ in my life. Okay. Well, at least we know, right? At least you know. At least you know. So how certain are you then in this certainty? And this is all of us. Please, I am trying to make you feel a little bit aware. All right? Listen. How certain are you that your way of living life, the way that you see the world, the way that you act in that world, that way, how certain are you that that way is superior, is more joyful, is richer, is less stressful than living the life that God desires and has provided for you? How many of you are certain that your way of doing things is better than God's way of doing things for you? Are you dead certain about it? Because, man, we give that authority away all the time. All the time. All the time. So what do we have before us? Well, what happened on that beach is an invitation to discipleship. It's an invitation. It said, you know, we get hung up, hey, Peter, you know, Simon and Andrew, come follow me. We think about wandering through the desert. But what it really says is, look, I want you guys to put yourself second behind me, says Jesus. In other words, take all of these rankings and all of the authority in the world, including the Romans, and put it secondary to me. That's what he asks. That's discipleship. Come nothing before me. Come with me, and what you'll find is your life is transformed. He cast a net. He cast out his word. They were in the midst of that. They were pulled in, and the power of the word and their willingness to follow said, wait a minute, you are more important than we are, and there is life in you. But the call to discipleship seems more difficult than that for us sometimes, I think. And part of it is this way. I want you to just imagine an airport, right? Filled with all sorts of people, going everywhere. And you know, there's announcements at airports, right? Now boarding flight so-and-so, now boarding flight so-and-so. Now, some people never hear any of that. Man, they're just, choo-choo-choo-choo. I know where I'm going, I'm getting there, I'm doing that, right? So they don't hear any announcements. There are other people who are going, the call comes across, flight 323 to New York City, now departing gate 26. So if you're going not to New York City, you kind of zone that out too, don't you? I'm not listening, that's not me. I'm just going on my way, focused on another direction, no problem. But there are some people who are going to New York, and what is their response to
flight to New York, boarding 323, flight 26, right?
What do? They pick up their bags, and they start going where? That's their flight, right? They're tuned in. You get what I'm saying? That's their flight. That's their place. This is my call. I got to go, right? So they hear the call. This call is going out all of the time. So is the call to discipleship. It's all over the place. But it's about a willingness in a sense. Are you prepared? Are you anticipating a call? Are you going somewhere? Or are you dead certain that your way of life is good and God just stay the heck out of the way? But we're Christian, okay? I mean, get that. Not saying that we're not Christian. I'm just saying the other part's what we say no to, right? So we may not hear the call, but those that do hear the call, this is what it says. It says, look, to be a disciple is basically to learn to live my life the way Jesus would live my life. At least that's how Dallas Willard says it, and I like that. Not so that I live Jesus's life, that's already been lived, right? Yes, amen? Yeah, very good. But this is, how would Jesus live my life? How would he do my job? How would he love my family? How would he interact in the family? How would he in the community? How would he drive my car? What would he say to those people who cut us off? That's discipleship. Because the truth is that that life, or at least some of us profess, that life is better than the way that I'm choosing to lead it. But I can't learn that life until I've entered into this relationship with Jesus. So that's going on. That's discipleship. But there are some obstacles. The big obstacle is this. If I do what Jesus asked me to do, it will ruin my life. Because it'll make me go to Africa and be a missionary. Amen? Isn't that it? Like if I really, because the only thing Jesus could ever envision in the whole world is to make me leave my friends, family, and community where I could be intimately effective and move me to the other side of the world. To talk to people that I do not know in a language that I cannot speak. That's the only way that the gospel could ever be transmitted. Right? That's why I'm not going to do what Jesus wants me to do. That's scary. Yeah, it is scary. But I think God's smarter than that, but whatever. That's a good example. But the other one, and this one is probably more dear to us. If we got to it, it's the truth in our hearts that says, I simply do not see the value of being different than I am. In other words, I can't see the bigger picture that if I surrendered my life and lived and changed and did these things that Jesus has called me to, that it would be better. That if I gave up something, I can't see that whatever I gave up, I can't even name what it is, that it would somehow be worth less. In other words, it wouldn't be a good deal. It wouldn't be a good value. Are you with me? And Jesus had some parables. He said, look, the kingdom of God, this life is like someone who discovered the most valuable pearl in the world. And they sold everything to get it and to keep it. Or it's like the man who found a treasure and he buried it and he sold all he could. He gave everything so that he could have this because this person understood that it was the most valuable thing in the whole world. So here's kind of the caveat. Until we really can see and embrace and believe, not just the creed, but believe that this life that Jesus is teaching us to live, our life, him through us, is more valuable than any other thing in the entire creation, we can't learn to live that life. We won't learn. We will not be able to do the things and make the practices that help us discover this. Are we stuck? No, we're not stuck. Because there's some kingdom things that are true. Let me just zip through a couple of these. We can ask. Look, Jeff, I don't know. I don't know how to see that. I wish I could see the value. I can't right now. Blessings. No problem. Man, that's all of us. But Jesus says, ask and you shall. Yeah. Knock and the. Yeah. So the practice is to pray, to ask. God, let me see you. Let me find this value. Let me discover. I don't get it. And Jesus goes, I know you don't get it. I'm glad you finally admitted it. Right? Here you go. The other thing is to use the resources we have, to come to worship, to be part of community, to read the word, to study the word, to do that together. All these wonderful things that are happening and will continue. Use the word. Jesus said, when you read my word and live that way, you'll be my apprentice. You'll be my disciple. It'll transform you. And he said, there's this great pattern of teaching. We'll experience, I'll challenge you, we'll go through the experience with you, and then we'll talk about it, and then I'll challenge you again. And every time you trust me, every time you leave your certainty behind and trust me, we'll grow deeper and deeper, and you'll see more and more of that value, and you will live greater and greater, more joyfully in the kingdom. It's how it works. Oh, thanks be to God. That's the pattern. But we all are not right there. We're not, our hang-ups to say, well, I don't perfectly get it. I don't want to make that choice. We're in all sorts of places. And you know what? As a church, we have failed you over and over and over and over and over. And I'm tired of failing. right? Because we don't ask. So if the ushers, where are the ushers? I don't know where they're. Ushers! I don't know how they come up. There we go. You guys have some cards, right? It's like the Allstate commercial, right? Dun, 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 dun. Ushers are there. All right. You guys have some cards, right? And will you hand them out? Here's what I want to do. I just want you to say, you know what? Here's a card. I'm going to put my name on it. Usher, go ahead and get those things out wherever ushers are that have those cards, right? During the prayer time, just think about it a little bit. I want you to write your name if you, because I want everybody to do something so nobody feels singled out, right? You can write yes, like, yes, I'd like to kind of figure out and learn a little bit more. I'm feeling sort of a call to go a little bit deeper. You might say, I don't know, which is a good answer. You might say, no, I got it under control. Stay away from me, whatever. All I'm thinking is, or leave it blank, right, is just make a decision. Make a decision to either say, no, I'm not doing something further, or decide that I do not know right now, or that, yeah, I would like, and we'll get the cards, I'll be the only one looks at them, and I'll figure out, like, what's the community feel, right? And where's ways to go about this? All I'm just giving you is an opportunity, maybe it's just for you, to simply say, you've been invited. You've been invited to find out what it's like. You've been invited to leave the boats behind, if you're fiddling back with them, to leave them again and go a little bit further. You're invited, you're invited, you're invited. And so this is a chance to go, yeah, I get it, Jesus. All right, there's soup coming, look. I need to do this. Will you guys give me 5 minutes, please? Somebody nod? Okay, thank you. I want to tell you this last part because I think this is the biggest obstacle. Is that we say, you know what? I tried to do that and I failed. Or I never could be that kind of person. And it's just too overwhelming and I've had enough failures in my life. I don't want to go forward. I want to tell you about Peter. You remember Peter? The one who said, dropped his nets and followed Jesus, right? Remember him just a minute ago? Okay. So if you go forward in John's gospel, after Peter has failed Jesus over and over, had good times, bad times, disavowed him when he was being crucified, here they are out fishing again. He and the disciples. Jesus has been resurrected. Jesus shows up on the beach, says, hey, what's going on? They go, oh, look, it's you, Jesus. So Peter jumps off, swims in. They have some breakfast. Everything's feeling really good. Peter's going, yeah, man, I'm sort of reconnecting because I was really kind of a schmuck in this whole thing. And Jesus then asks him this. Listen carefully. Jesus says, Peter, do you love me? And the way he asked love, we don't have enough words for love, but this love said this. Peter, do you agape? Do you love me more than anything else in the whole world? Do you love me that way? Peter, who had gone through all of this, who you just know is going, oh, this is great. I can hardly wait because, man, I messed up, but I'm back. He said, you know, I love you like a brother. Okay. Jesus goes, feed my sheep. Brother love being not quite as good as above all things. Are you with me? So Jesus asks him again, all right, Peter, no problem. Do you love me in an agape way? Do you love me above all things? Have you really come and follow me and put everything behind? Oh, baby, have you done that? And Peter said, you know I love you like a brother. Okay, feed my sheep. Finally, and this is the one where we are, right, is that Jesus says, Peter, do you love me like a brother? And Scripture says, Peter said, he was so heartbroken because Jesus had to ask him again. But, you know, he asked him a different way, didn't he? Do you love me like a brother? And Peter said, Lord, you know everything. Can you feel his heart breaking? You know that I only love you this much. And Jesus said, all right, take care of my sheep. Now, what that means for us is that Jesus knows. It's not a secret. It's not something that you hide. It's not something that the church decides about you. Jesus knows, and he asks over and over, just let me do this for you. Just let me be this way. Will you take this step with me? And you go, I don't love you that much. And Jesus goes, okay, do you love me this much? Yeah, okay, come on. See, that's good news. So however you fill out your cards, it's not a test. It's an invitation from the one who won it all. And the one who loves us and understands how we love him and just says, oh, let me make this just a little bit better. Just a little bit better for you. Come on. Come on, church. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. All right.